Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Official Dan will be back next week, fellas, and everyone and ladies that are out there. But locking it down is El Presidente, Blake Biscardi. Welcome back, Blake. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, Cass. Thank you for having me on again. It's been a pleasure filling in for Dan. Excited for today's show, talking NFL draft. Things are going well, man, in the middle of baseball season. So busy time of year, spring ball, NFL draft, and I'm coaching baseball. So life is good.
Yeah, life is fantastic here as well. I'm 14 tomorrow. When you're listening to this, 14 days from my vacation, I'll be in Aruba. So then you'll see, then you'll hear Blake's voice again on the podcast, I'm pretty sure, with Dan when he comes back. But I'll be back. I'll be here next week. And then the following week, I'll be gone. Probably while you guys are recording, I'll be in Aruba or Carousel. I don't know. I'll have to look at the itinerary. But today is all about the NFL draft. And that's tonight. The NFL draft is tonight. 8 p.m. I'm sure all the coverages start about noon. It's actually been all week. So I think Blake and I are going to do a – we're going to do a little something different here. We're going to talk Buckeye – it's Buckeye draftees, the guys who are eligible for this year's draft. We don't – we both think there's about the 3 to 4 range that will probably get drafted. We'll talk about that. Then we'll lock it down to see where our foes, where some of our foe players, like in the Big Ten. And then we're going to lay down our top 10 mock draft. And I might have to send my, and you know what? This is a good idea for Blake and I. Well, I might have to send my list to him, and maybe there'll be a graphic. Maybe there'll be a graphic. So something we just came up with on the fly. So let's talk about the Buckeye eligible guys that'll be drafted. Well, one's going to be drafted tonight, and there might be others drafted this weekend. So let's talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's gone number well. Obviously, we're already going to give you our values or our mock pick at number 4. Arizona is going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't see any other solution unless other teams try to trade up. So how does he fit with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, Blake?
I think no matter where Marvin Harrison Jr. goes, the likely scenario being Arizona, like you just mentioned, that's where I think he goes. I think he fits well on the offense. I think he has the potential to be an all-pro guy. He could be one of the best receivers to ever do it. I know high praise early on, guy hasn't seen a snap in the NFL yet, but his body control, his skill set, you know, I was talking to somebody who knows Marvin Harrison, and he said to me, he goes, so the best way I can describe his game is he's his dad, but he's 6'4". And I was like, you know what? That's a really great way to put it in layman's terms. That way is he is Marvin Harrison Sr., but 4 inches taller. And you can see it in the way his techniques are when he runs his routes with such precision, his ball control, you know, the way he can command his body, anything that he does is just at an elite level. He's already been a professional athlete for the last 2 years there at Ohio State. Now he actually gets to showcase that on the next level in that offense with Arizona. Kyler Murray's a mobile quarterback, so you have to dedicate a linebacker to him and maybe a safety over the top. We'll see how that works, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to make an immediate impact in that offense out there. I think he's going to warrant top 10 receiver status right away in the NFL. I really have high praise for Marvin Harrison Jr., not just because he's a Buckeye, but because of the prospect he is an outstanding receiver and it's going to be great in that offense. A good weapon for Kyler Murray to have.
All right. How about some day two guys? I think Mike Hall, Cade Stover, lock it down in day two. I think make Mike Hall late second round, Cade Stover early third, late second round. Mike Hall kind of reminds you a little bit of Aaron Donald-esque. You know, with the news today with my Cincinnati Bengals, Trey Henderson kind of once traded out of Cincinnati. Bengals need to reassure that defensive line. They let B.J. Hill go to the the Lions. They're going to need some defensive tackle help, some defensive line help. If they end up getting somehow Brock Bowers falls into their lap, I could see the Bengals drafting Mike Hall in the second round, getting a great quality player in Mike Hall.
Yeah, Michael Hall's a really good prospect, and I think he's somebody who we know he didn't play every single snap last year, but he was an impact guy when he was on the field. He wreaked havoc in the backfield. He was a great pass rusher from the inside there, and I think he's going to provide a lot of value to whatever team he falls to. He would be a good addition to the Cincinnati defensive line, the way you're saying, get that restructured there, you have him and Hubbard. I do like Michael Hall coming up the middle. I think he will be a late second-round pick as well. Maybe he falls to early third. You know, it always depends. The drafts sometimes get a weird flow to them. Depends what happens early, and it kind of resets everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look at the top three, and if nobody trades out of those picks, do three quarterbacks just go right away? Then Marvin Harrison Jr., then what happens? Mm-hmm. Do you overvalue J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix or another quarterback? Someone trades up to five with the Chargers. Like, a lot of things happen in the draft to make the flow weird. So I think you're looking late second round, early third round for Michael Hall, but he will be a good value pick wherever he is taken, and he will be able to produce right away, if not within those first couple years there.
Cade Stover, there's one team that I think if they could get him in the early third round, late second, and that's the Houston Texans. I think
yes.
I think pairing him up with is it Dalton Schultz, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they're the only team that really interviewed him at pro days. But he also has AFC North written all over him. I hope he doesn't go to the other three teams as a Bengals fan. But he also has NFC North written all over him. And for some reason, if he's not wearing the Houston Texans bull on his helmet, it screams the Green Bay Packers G. I don't know why. I think it's just because he's a farmer Gronk,
right?
Going up to Wisconsin, dude out there in his cutoff out there in Lambeau. He looks like he could play for the Green. He's a AFC North, NFC North type of player for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, even if you look at him in Baltimore, kind of like a Mark Andrews shadow type of guy, just that is his game. That's Stover's game. He's good in pass blocking. He's good. His vertical pass game really became one of his best weapons in his last year and a half at Ohio State. You know, they didn't use him a ton. Then all of a sudden you start seeing Stover up the seam or getting those opportunities. You know, if you look back and watch the Michigan game from 2022, there were multiple big moments. They went to Stover. They didn't complete the pass on some of them, but he got opportunities in big moments, and he's a trustworthy receiver. He has good hands. He's great blocking. He's a good veteran presence to have in there. His size, his toughness, it's something you want to have in the offense. Like you said, cold weather teams are going to line up. We can run the football. We're going to play power football. That's definitely his brand, and I think he'll be a good addition in any of those places as well. And I do agree with you, AFC North, NFC North. But right, would so be great with Houston.
Yeah, so those are my three guys that are day one, day two. I'm just going to list off a bunch of names here just to kind of shorten this up. Tommy Eichenberg, Josh Proctor, Mayan Williams, Xavier Johnson, Steel Chambers, Matthew Jones. Obviously day three, maybe undrafted free agent guys. I think with Steele and Tommy, yes, you're getting sure tacklers, but are they really that, you know, what they struggled in was in pass, like pass coverage,
athleticism.
Not as athletic. Josh Proctor is the unknown. I think he's more the unknown out of those guys out of I listed because we only saw one solid year at. We only saw one season out of him. Xavier Johnson, late pick, I think will be a. If he gets drafted, I think he's going to be a huge addition to whoever he drafts. He's going to work hard. He's going to be like Noah Brown, I believe. And then Matthew Jones. I wish we had one more year with him because I think we saw last year what he was capable of. I think if he had one more year of eligibility, it could really catapult him. And then Mayan Williams, it's going to be tough to see what happens with Mayan Williams because running backs, it's hard press for a running back in the NFL.
It is. And Cash, you're saying this about Josh Proctor and Xavier Johnson. I actually really like the comp there to Noah Brown for X. But I think those guys could, if they're late picks, will be great depth pieces or guys that you have on the scout team at least, and give them a chance to make the team over the summer. I think they will be good additions to the roster. I mean, Proctor, you've seen flashes from all these guys that we talked about. I know the draft has a lot of players in it, but I think in the secondary, you see the way injuries are just running rampant. He's a good playmaker to have on the back end of that defense. And then Xavier Johnson, too. He can provide you such versatility as a weapon. You can line him up outside. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up in the backfield. A lot of different ways to use him. Similar to Curtis Samuel in 2016, how he was used for Ohio State. Obviously, workload differing. But I think he would be a nice piece to have in certain offenses there. Like to get creative. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. The way they like to be creative on offense, to use guys in different ways, I think he'll provide some good value.
As painful as it sees, as I would see it, he's a Kansas City Chief. In that style of offense, I think with the unknown of Rice, with his legal troubles right now, he'd fit right in KC. They could draft him late, get him cheap, get him to play. He also could go to San Francisco and play. It's going to be, I think, outside of the three guys, I think he's the most interesting guy that's going to be could be drafted or not drafted for the Buckeyes. Just because, you know, as much as I love Tommy and Steele, there's just not a lot of flash, NFL flash for those guys. But that being said, all right, we were talking about this a little bit off air. Most overvalued and undervalued player, or we could even just go we'll go quarterback, because this quarterback draft class is going to be huge. There's a lot, and then we could go. We could possibly say overvalued and over player, but let's just stick to quarterback. Let's start with undervalued quarterback, and we both said Michael Penix. Michael Penix as the most undervalued quarterback. And could it be his age? Like, do you think it's his age that has a factor, or the injury, his previous injuries? Because I think, in my opinion, outside of Drake May, I think he's the most NFL-ready quarterback to start. Just because of his experience and his size, he's got a lot of Dak Prescott-ish in him. I think he's being undervalued. I really do.
Yeah, Penix is interesting because you look at his throwing motion, that's where everybody kind of gets held up with him outside of his injuries. And you're like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of like the Tebow thing when he was coming to the NFL. I mean, Penix's skill set is far superior than Tebow's as a vertical passer. But you look at throwing motion for Penix, I mean, he's deadly accurate. That's something you can't dispute with Penix. I think he's one of the elite college passers in the last couple of years. And then being in Kalen DeBoer's offense for, I think, what was it, 4 years he was with him?
Something like that.
Because of the injuries.
And Indiana.
And like, they traveled together and went to the transfer portal following DeBoer to Washington. So I really think Penix will be a good pick for whichever team gets him. I mean, I don't think he's going to go in and start in the NFL in year one. But God forbid the starting quarterback gets injured. He's a trustworthy thrower of the football that you can have back there. He's a smarter quarterback, too. He's been in a creative offense with Kalen DeBoer. And at Washington, something that we don't talk a lot about because he's such a good passer is their run game. So he was operating a balanced offense. It wasn't that traditional West Coast air raid style offense, even though they had stud guys like Roma Dunze on the outside where they can throw the ball on everybody. Washington had a great offensive line last year, and they had a good running back. And they ran the football too. So they were balanced. So he knows how to operate that pro style offense. So I think Penix will be good value as a backup, get mentored from a good veteran in front of you, and then begin to play over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. I also look at it this way. I think he reminds me so much of Dak Prescott. I think the Cowboys could really be like, look, we're still unknown in the future with Dak. He hasn't won a playoff game, games.
It's true.
We could get him. We could get the same quarterback for cheaper. But all right, most overvalued player, obviously /quarterback. I know where you're going with this one, but I'm throwing at the shot at the dark here, throwing a dartboard. I'm going Caleb Williams as the most overvalued quarterback. just because it's not his skill set whatsoever. Is it here? Is it up in his head?
Yeah.
That's where I question it. You know, he's a great player. Plus, it's Chicago. We saw the Justin Fields travesty. Like, we saw what he did with Justin Fields. That's just me. And he hasn't won a – he didn't win a big game in college. That's what concerns me. The skill set, yeah, he could be coached. I just don't think with Chicago being the situation that they are, I also look at it, what big games did he win in college?
Cass, I agree with you. I think – well, so let's back up here. Everyone's singing Caleb Williams' praises because of his skill set, his athleticism, and his playmaking ability, and neither of us are disputing that with him at all. I agree with you. It's that mental side, off-field diva style attitude, whatever you want to call it, and then also just not performing well in the big games. Now, how much of that was USC's offensive line or defense that was causing those problems and affecting the scoreboard? We'll see. If Caleb Williams was on Georgia or, let's say, Texas or Washington, what would their offense have been like with Caleb Williams there? How much of a difference does situation make for him? And I think when you look at quarterbacks going into the NFL, like you're saying, it was tough for Justin Fields. Situation does make a big difference for where the quarterback is going. You look at C.J. Stroud going to number two last year to Houston and the situation he's in. And, I mean, look at Houston. They're set up wonderfully for the next couple of years now with that young core that they have, getting Tank Dell as well. I mean, Houston elite in the draft last year, and that really paid off. Will Anderson on defense. Then you look at a guy, Bryce Young, goes to Carolina. They don't really have anything going in Carolina right now. And Bryce Young, I don't think they're going to win 9-10 games in his rookie contract. So I think it's situation makes a difference. If C.J. Stroud went to Carolina and Bryce Young went to Houston, I think you're saying the same thing. I mean, Houston was the better situation for those quarterbacks last year, and it ended up falling where Bryce Young went to Carolina and CJ to Houston. So in Chicago, I think they're better suited to get Caleb Williams now than they were when they drafted Justin Fields. But again, I don't know how successful Caleb Williams can be in Chicago given that situation, the way the organization runs it. And so I think it's going to be an uphill battle for him either way. And, you know, I do think he's overhyped in that sense because you're basically going off a skill set and playmaking ability.
I agree. All right, I'm going to give you some Big Ten guys. I can't think of his name at the top of my head. Is the white corner from Iowa?
Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, where does he get drafted?
That's a good question, and Cass, I just want to back up 1 second to talk J.J. McCarthy.
Oh,
talking about overvalued picks.
Yeah. My bad. Because he was on that list where he's getting drafted. So go ahead.
Yeah, and this is not a personal indictment against J.J. McCarthy. This is just, like I talked about earlier, draft flow. This is what I think is going to happen. You're going to have three quarterbacks drafted at 1, 2, and 3. Marvin Harrison at 4. And then it puts that premium tag then on the next quarterback. And when you look at the profiles of these guys, the rankings, the skill sets, the meetings, the draft boards, JJ is going to be your next guy. He skyrocketed up the draft boards. And is that so much his skill set? Is it so much them winning the national championship? Is it Jim Harbaugh being in the ears of these NFL guys saying, this is a great quarterback, you guys should draft him, advocating for his guy? I do think JJ will be the next quarterback drafted. And I think it's very interesting looking at the Chargers holding the 5th pick and teams like the Raiders or the Vikings looking to trade up. And like we're talking about fit and situation, I think Minnesota getting any of these quarterbacks early on, if they do trade up, would be the best case destination for whichever one they draft. In this case, I just think they get JJ by trading up. So I think they get him at 5, and it's going to make him overvalued, but I think he's going to the best situation. So it's going to work out for him beneficially, if that makes sense.
How ironic would it be? And this would be a draft day two movie, which, by the way, after this I'm watching, because it's like you gotta watch draft day. Jim Harbaugh calls up the head honchos at the San Diego, not San Diego, the Chargers. GM says, hey, JJ's my guy. JJ is my guy. What can we do and possibly deal Justin Herbert?
Right.
I could honestly, I think it's a 5% that this actually happens. But how ironic would it be that the Chargers trade somehow were able to trade and think about it, they would be able to trade Justin Herbert, save their pick, and get another pick from like the Vikings. They draft JJ McCarthy, and they still would be able to get the Vikings pick at what is it like, or even the Giants at 9 or something like that.
Right.
How ironic. And I could see it. I could see Jim Harbaugh pulling some stunt like that because how much he loves JJ McCarthy. He won him a national championship. He beat Ohio State twice.
Right. I do think it's on the table. It would definitely be interesting. Oh, I think the hurdle there is just the cap space from Justin Herbert's contract and how they work that up, because they would still be paying part of that. So I guess you're putting in how much value do you see in JJ McCarthy versus that cap hit from Herbert's contract. But I do think that move is on the table if it were to work out, because then you're kind of going, all right, we're going to go to a reset. We have a new coach. Let's reset a little bit here. New quarterback. Let's start this over. We can get good value from Herbert because he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
And the Vikings could be like, okay, if we really want a franchise quarterback, because I don't think J.J. McCarthy can get Justin Jefferson the ball. That's just me. That's just me. The Vikings could be like, okay, Cincy, all right, you got two guys that want to be traded. We'll trade you Justin Jefferson for those two guys straight up, which is T. Higgins. We're talking about T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, L.A., how bad do you want J.J. McCarthy? Like,
it's like one of those NBA-style three-team trades.
Yeah. Like, T. Higgins goes to the Vikings, Trey Hendrickson that goes out to L.A. The Vikings get the Bengals get Justin Jefferson. All is good. All is good. That's a 5%. I'd give that a 5% chance that it happened. Hey, if the Bengals were able to get Justin Jefferson, I don't care who we draft at 18, I'd be happy. But
right.
I don't think that's going to happen. So, there's one we just talked about, JJ McCarthy. We both think the Vikings are going to move. I think the Vikings or the Raiders are going to move up and try to get him.
Yep.
Even the Giants may be flirting with it a little bit. Again, they got cap issues with Daniel Jones.
Right.
Blake Corum. I personally want Blake Corum in the second round in Cincinnati matched up with Chase Brown. I know I'm a Buckeye fan. I love the Buckeyes. But Blake Corum fits that Cincinnati mold as that tough runner, because they got to replace Mixon. They got to replace Mixon. I would love – and then there's a lot of teams I think would love to get draft Blake Corum too. As you know, hey, we love the rivalry. We hate to hate Michigan. But Blake Corum is that dude. He's a tough SOB.
He would be really interesting at Cincinnati. You'd have two young running backs that would serve as a great 1-2 punch. And you see this, I think that's the model you have to use in the NFL when you don't have that stud RB1. Like, you know, back in the day, you used to have LaDainian Tomlinson, you'd have Adrian Peterson, those kind of guys. Unless you have that kind of running back, it's not by committee, but it's you need a 1-2 punch for sure in the NFL. And you see that now in college with the extended season. It's not just all the carries are going to fall on one workhorse running back. Then you have a sprinkle third down back. You have another, you know, speed back. It's a little bit different now. So I think those two would be great complements to each other. They're similar in style, though, running, but I think they'll be good complements in the Cincinnati offense.
All right. The young guy from Iowa.
Cooper DeJean.
Where we got him going?
I think he can go to the Rams. I think he would be a good piece to that defense. The Rams have been interesting. You know, they go to the Super Bowl, then they had the down year because they had the injuries and everybody moving. Then they're back being pretty good again last year. I think getting Cooper DeJean there, breaking that stigma in the corners there in the NFL, I think he would be a good addition on that back end.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Any other Big Ten notable guys that you would like to see like go to good places?
You know, Chop Robinson is probably the other name that will be in first round circles there, the edge from Penn State. He's very athletic. He's 6'3", 250, I believe, 255. I think he's a good player. He's a good pass rusher. He caused a lot of havoc in college. And I think maybe late first round, maybe early second round, we can see him going. You know, you have Detroit down there, Baltimore down there, Buffalo, Arizona again, but they probably go guard. Even San Francisco, you know, you could see him down there at the end of that first round. I wouldn't be surprised to see Chop Robinson there go at the end. He's one of the good playmakers coming out of the Big Ten this year as well.
Yeah, I agree. So again, podcast brought to you by Cast Cuts. Go down to Cast Cuts and Vision Studios. Go get you a nice haircut. I did this weekend, and he's doing facials now, men's facials. I know it sounds weird, but I've been told it's pretty good. So Zoom doing its Zoom things has given us 10 minutes. So we're going to go do our top 10 mock draft. So. It's interesting. We both said it. 1, 2, and 3 going quarterbacks. It's just pending how the order and who goes where. So obviously number one, I'm sure we both have the Bears selecting Caleb Williams.
Yes.
So here's where it gets tricky. And I know there's a lot of talk about, for me anyway, there's a lot of talk that Jaden Daniels going to Commanders. Jaden Daniels going to Commanders. Commanders are a team that always makes you think and does a swerve. I'm going Drake May, number 2 overall, to the Washington Commanders.
Yes, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels there at 2 because I think when you look in that division, Jalen Hurts is a mobile quarterback. Dak Prescott can run. So those are the two best teams in the NFC East. And I think the playmaking ability of him with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator, I think that's more appealing to him. So I think I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels there at 2. Drake May. Historically, looking at the Patriots, if they keep that pick, he reminds you of, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady or the Mac Jones, that style of quarterback. They like a pocket passer, can move if needed to distribute the ball and make all those throws. So I've got Jaden Daniels at 2 to Washington.
I have Jaden Daniels going to the Patriots. I think Bob Kraft would like to make a splash. I think Jaden Daniels is more flashier than Drake May, but I have Jaden Daniels going to the Patriots.
And then I've got Drake May to the Patriots there at 3.
At 4, we already said it. Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. And then number 5, VIA trade, as we say, from the Minnesota Vikings, from the Chargers to the Minnesota Vikings, JJ McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan.
I will agree with that pick. That is what I think will happen as well. I think the Chargers deal that pick to Minnesota. The Chargers get 2 first-rounders out of that. I believe that would be 11 and 23. And that'll be good for Jim Harbaugh there to work with 2 great first-round picks there. And then he also, you know, I know this is not the motivation for it, but gets his guy, JJ McCarthy, to a great situation there in Minnesota. That would set him up for the most success in the NFL.
At 6, the Giants. I have them going wide receivers. You got to get a playmaker. I'm going Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Yeah, I think that would be a good pick there for the Giants as well. I wonder, this is where you start to get, you see the Giants here, then Tennessee, I think they go tackle. Where does Brock Bowers fall to? Like this is where that territory goes. If Brock Bowers does not go to the Chargers at 5, do the Giants get him instead of a receiver at 6? Because if not, I think Bowers can fall just a little bit, and then it makes a trade up very interesting. Like if Cincinnati decides they want to trade up,
And there's
and
rumors
nab
they
Brock
want to trade
Bowers.
up.
Exactly. So I think that's where it gets very interesting. If we both see neighbors going here to the Giants, and that does happen, you get to this spot where you're looking all the way to 11, I think, is the earliest that Brock Bowers would go, and the Chargers could even get him there, or they'd move around. So I think that's going to be the biggest storyline there if we see those three, four quarterbacks and two receivers go in the top six.
Well, I am going 7. I don't think a trade happens. Joe Alt, Notre Dame to the Titans. However, I do think the Bengals move up at 8, and they take Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia at number 8.
And do they trade? What do they give for that? Do you think they go T. Higgins in that deal somewhere?
I think it's Trey because he's flirting with retirement.
Right. No, I can see that happening as well. I think if that doesn't happen there, let's go Dallas Turner, the edge to from Alabama there to the Falcons. And then I've got Joe Alt at 7 to Tennessee.
Yeah, I got Joe Alt at 7, Tennessee as well. I'm actually to make it. I'm typing this out, so we could possibly get a graphic going for this. So at 9, Bears, you got your quarterback. You have DJ Moore. You could do anything right here. And I know a lot of people say Romo Dusie, but you also got to protect him. And I'm going J.C. Latham, tackle, Alabama. I think he's from Alabama, right?
Yes. Just to go off of this, to be different from you, I want to go Romo Dunze at 9 to Chicago and really emphasize the skill position players with Caleb Williams to kind of go all in on skill and playmaking abilities. I agree they have to protect him. That was the downfall of Justin Fields. It will be the downfall of Caleb Williams if they do not do that. But for all intents and purposes, give me Romo Dunze at 9.
And I think the Bills draft a move up because obviously the Jets see, I know they don't really like to trade with division foes, but the Bills are pressed hard. They're pressing hard. They need to replace Stephon Diggs. Bills trade from, they get Rome Odusie at 10.
Yeah, I can see that. What if the Jets hold the pick? See, this is where I did not have Brock Bowers go off the board yet officially. I gave you that trade, so I'll put Brock Bowers right there at 10.
Yeah, that's where, okay, that's where I think, because I think there's going to be a lot of things happening. If the Bengals are able to make this trade,
mm-hmm.
Bills are going to try to move up to the Jets.
Right.
Get Romo Dusie.
Yeah, I think that would be the spot for Bowers or Odunze right there. If Chicago doesn't get him at 9, I think it's really interesting that those guys request a trade from Cincinnati the day before the draft. I know we've flirted with that. They've been flirted with a trade. We've heard this talk. It's not new news, but it's now official news. So I think that Cincinnati's going to make a move somewhere because of that coming out today officially. And Brock Bowers, that's the situation you want to watch. Imagine him with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and that offense. Chase Brown, maybe they do get Blake Corum. I think it's a really good offense in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I know.
Already is.
I just sent that over to you, my mock 10.
Yep.
So, obviously, people are going to be like, what the heck is Cass thinking? You know, not it, Bengals moving up. They never move up. I'm looking at what could be realistic. They talked about earlier in the week that they are trying to move up. T. Higgins re-identifies, hey, I want to trade. Trey Henderson comes out, I want to trade. And the thing is, you don't have to give up your 18th pick to get that 8 spot. So you move up to 8, you trade Trey Henderson. I think they would end up having to do. I think the Falcons will be like, no, we need a first round. Unless you trade both T. Higgins and Trey to Atlanta, then you'd still have that 18th pick, which I think the 18th pick would be bye-bye because the Falcons need a lot more than just
right.
but that's where I see it. I love the draft. I really do. I think I love the trades the most. And obviously, you know, when you start seeing some of those good teams and everything. So, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We got less than a minute. Blake, any final thoughts on the draft?
I am curious to see how this quarterback situation shakes out. I do think Marvin Harrison is the lock at 4, Caleb Williams at 1. Other than that, a lot of surprises tomorrow night.
I think so,
or tonight,
too.
Rather.
I think so too. And then tomorrow night, second round, could we see more Buckeyes get take off? Who would be the surprise? So, for myself, yep. Big Cass, Dan, we'll be back next week. Blake, let's have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft, my friend.
Let's do it. You too. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.